Are you wrestling with questions that really matter but just keep coming up empty or perplexed? Well, you've come to the right place. Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is committed to equipping you with answers that have stood the test of time. Our aim is to help you mine the Bible for all its wealth, so you can share those riches with a skeptical world still hungry for spiritual truth. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Let's go right to our phone callers. First up, June. She's listening in Atlanta, Georgia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, June.
Hi, Hank. I have a question about the red letter Christians. Does this keep with the essentials of the Christian doctrine?
Well, Tony Campolo, who's co-author of that book, does not hold to the Bible as being the infallible repository of redemptive revelation in general, because he takes his own politically correct views and imposes them on Scripture, including calling for the full acceptance of Christian gay couples into the church, a validation of their practice. The fact that same-sex marriage violates natural law, the universal morally binding law accessible to all people at all times through conscience and reason, doesn't seem to have a whole lot of weight with him. Obviously, marriage has an objective and immutable nature embedded in it. It is unique, it's permanent, it's comprehensive in terms of the union of one man, one woman, the natural end of which is the bearing and rearing of children. And the reality is all the sociological metrics point to the benefit for children of gender-differentiated parenting. But Tony Campolo doesn't care about that. What he cares about is being politically correct, despite what it does to the most vulnerable among us. So I don't recommend his books. I don't recommend his reason, sometimes ramblings, as in that book, and certainly not a Christian leader that should be adhered to or followed. Instead, we should apply discernment skills to his rambling reason.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. Talk to Jim. He's listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Jim.
Hi. What is it about the nature of the transformation through our eternal bodies at the resurrection that eliminates the possibility of man's falling into sin as he did before?
The way I'd respond to that first is to simply say that we can be absolutely certain that we will not sin in heaven, because that is what the Scriptures teach us. Secondly, I'd say that while in the present we are being bombarded by the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, in paradise restored, the problem of sin and Satan is forever resolved. So we're not going to be tempted. Rather, we're going to have requisite knowledge of the one who saved us by his grace. So you can imagine your love for Jesus Christ now. Now imagine it in a circumstance where there's no temptation from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and you are actually communing with the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue, the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. And then I think a third point should be added, and that is in heaven we're going to be actualized in righteousness, free to be what God made us to be. This is the quintessence of freedom. We freely give up the freedom to sin in exchange for freedom from sin. So we can be absolutely certain that sin will be no more. In fact, the Bible very explicitly says nothing impure will enter the new Jerusalem. It will be free from the stain of sin. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Troy. He's listening in Prescott, Arizona. Hi, Troy.
Hey, you implied that it wasn't the job of a Christian to be aware of Christ's second coming in terms of time frames. And I was wondering, why would Christ have chastised the Pharisees and the Sadducees for not recognizing the signs of the times when he stood in front of them and he said, you all can recognize the weather in the morning and whether it's going to rain or not, but you can't recognize that I'm the Messiah, but you can't recognize the signs of the times. And there's the other scripture that says we should have our sandals and our clothes next to our bed prepared and ready so that we're not caught unaware. And I believe it was referring to Christ's second coming. And
well, no, it's not referring to Christ's second coming at all. And that is certainly what skeptics have said, like Albert Schweitzer and Bart Ehrman, people who say that Jesus Christ is a false apocalyptic prophet. Quite obviously, in context, Jesus is talking about his coming in judgment, but that judgment being a judgment on Jerusalem and the temple. The context is very, very clear. So those who call him a false apocalyptic prophet and use that as the pretext are simply misguided. But as far as the passage that you're talking about, Matthew chapter 16, you're very right to say the Pharisees and the Sadducees were coming to Jesus and testing him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. So how does he respond? It's not just with the words that you quoted. Those words come in a context. He says, when evening comes, you say, it's going to be a fair day out because the sky is red. And in the morning, today it's going to be stormy because the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. And what are the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, says Jesus, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. What is the sign of the time? It is Jesus Christ has appeared. He's going to resurrect from the dead. He's doing miracles in their midst, and yet they are denying that he is the only one who can walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. So they're denying Messiah in their midst when it's very clear that Messiah has landed and has inaugurated the kingdom. But they don't want the kingdom because they want their own thing going on. They want to make their own living and their own pomp and ceremony because of their position and their pride. And so they're denying Messiah in their midst. And Messiah is very, very clear. Remember the words. They apply to your question. Jesus says, a wicked, an adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. So Jesus, again, is castigating those who ought to know full well that Messiah is in their midst, and it's going to be amplified by his resurrection. This has nothing whatsoever to do with reading tea leaves in the present.
What about the scripture that refers to us having our sandals next to our bed?
That is the first scripture that I dealt with. The context is very, very clear. Jesus is leaving the temple. He's walking away. He's basically pronounced Ichabod on the temple because the temple is a type, and he fulfills that type as the substance. So as he's walking away, the disciples call his attention to its buildings, and then Jesus says, do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here is going to be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And then, of course, he's got the disciples' attention. They're thinking, wow, this is the center of our sociological and spiritual identity. You're saying it's going to be removed. You're saying Jerusalem, the temple, are going to be destroyed. Now they want to know. And they ask him privately on the Mount of Olives, when's this going to happen? When is the temple going to be destroyed? What is going to be the sign of your coming in judgment on the temple? What is going to be the sign of the end of the age of sacrifice? They're asking essentially the same question in a number of different ways, and Jesus tells them. He gives them all kinds of warnings about what is going to happen. And he uses the language of the Old Testament prophets that had to do with destruction of nations and cities. And he applies that language so clearly that no one who has ever read the Old Testament could mistake his meaning. And then he says it's all going to happen within a generation. So again, he's very, very clear that he's not talking about the 21st century, he's talking about what will happen when the temple and Jerusalem are destroyed. And that's why I pointed out to you, skeptics like Bart Ehrman because he misreads this text, either purposely or because he's benighted. But he misreads this text to try to demonstrate that Jesus Christ is a false apocalyptic prophet. And again, as I've said, if he had a clue with respect to reading literature in general and the art and science of biblical interpretation in particular, he would not do what he is doing, at least in good conscience. So this is not subject to what the skeptics have done with it. This is very clear, and certainly Christians who have read their Bible know this and know that this has nothing to do with the 21st century. It's by implication, of course, if Jesus Christ was right about his coming in judgment on Jerusalem, he's right about his second appearing. So it does look forward to an ultimate day when Jesus Christ will return. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
Hank Hanegraaff's magnum opus, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 explains the essentials of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence and purpose, union with God in Christ, life in the Trinity. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. And even now, we are called to experience life that is life to the full. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The goal of the Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than a transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will encourage you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Let's return to the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Next up, Jason. He's in Norman, Oklahoma. Hi, Jason.
Hey, with all the what seems to be the attacks on homosexuals, I know without a doubt it's a sin, but what makes it so much more worse than, say, gluttony, and why does it seem to be acceptable for leaders of churches to be overweight and that not be a concern, but homosexuality is an absolute concern when they're both sins?
Yeah, I mean, certainly we should be concerned about gluttony, and I deal with a lot of issues in the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We deal with a lot of issues in the Christian Research Journal. If you go to the website at equip.org, you'll see thousands of issues being dealt with there. So we're not fixating on one. We're dealing with all these issues, and I take the questions as they come. But we did not have a Supreme Court decision making gluttony the law of the land, that you can go to jail for not approving of gluttony or not giving a gluttonous certificate out to someone. So I think that this has been foisted upon our consciousness and our lives in a very significant way. And when that is so, to simply be silent in the face of it would not be good, particularly when it has quite obvious ramifications, as I said earlier on the most vulnerable among us, children. Because as you and anyone else will likely know, it's not a hidden fact, it's just plain old sociological metrics that most people know about, gender-differentiated parenting is best for children. That's not even a debatable fact. And so if you care about children, you're obviously going to speak out about this, just as you've rightly pointed out, we should care about the temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. We shouldn't get drunk. We shouldn't be gluttonous. Nothing wrong with having a glass of wine. Nothing wrong with eating appropriate amounts of food. But we shouldn't be wine bibbers or gluttons. And I've said that many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast in response to questions.
Yeah, I guess I'm just wondering why we're not trying to get legislation passed about gluttony. I don't understand.
But again, I just mentioned, we don't have the Supreme Court decision that unless you're a glutton, we're going to jail you. We're not faced with some law of the land that makes gluttony a mandate for everyone. But we are faced with a law of the land that says that marriage no longer adheres to natural law, but rather to what people think is best for them in this particular epoch of time. So we've taken civilization and turned it on its head. And as you well know, Jason, this is not a trifling issue. This is not like picking a scab on your arm incorrectly. But this is one of the most basic pillars of all of human civilization, Barack Obama clearly and correctly talked about this years ago when he said that kids need a mother and a father. And when they don't have a mother and a father, there are draconian implications for civilization. He was right. Now, he has changed his mind, but that's the problem with political correctness. If you set your sight by shooting stars as opposed to having a North Star, you're always going to have problems. And the problems for civilization, again, are immense problems. So not to talk about that and to say, well, we should be talking about gluttony instead is simply making a false dichotomy. We should be talking about both. You're absolutely correct. But this is a far more significant issue overall in terms of implication. You know, a lot of people think sin is sin. That's simply wrong. I mean, if you think a murderous thought, it's one thing. If you carry out the murder, it's quite another. So there are sins that have dramatic implications and sins that have lesser implications. I'm not trying to grade the sins here, but simply saying on the broadcast, I talk about all of these issues because they are critical. And I know, Jason, you sound like a loving person. You would care about children. So I'm sure you're very, very glad that we're talking about this issue.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate your wisdom, sir. You have a good day.
Hey, appreciate you calling in. I want to mention just a couple of things here, and then we'll go right back to our calls. You know, the calls come in from all over the world, quite literally. Thousands and thousands of calls, questions, the resources of the ministry in great demand, but we simply cannot do what we do without you, and that's why we're asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder. You're not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000. And the letter is CRI. Also, if you can become a CRI support team member, in other words, I'm talking about people that don't give occasionally, but on an ongoing, regular, monthly basis, it would be deeply appreciated in appreciation for your support and for joining the CRI support team. I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Again, go to the web, equip.org/donate, and be deeply appreciated. Only give as you're led by the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to give out of compulsion, but give because you see the need and you want to be part of the solution. Let's go back to the phone calls. We'll talk next to Charles. He's listening in Baltimore, Maryland on WRBS. Hi, Charles.
Yes, how you doing? Real quickly. How do we know who's right? Sorry about the interruption there. So how do we know who's right when none of the dead people came back to tell us anything? Because, you know, you got every different denomination. I know Christianity probably didn't start out that way, but, you know, everybody says the same thing, and yet they all end up saying, they say the same thing, and yet they say different things. One thing they agree on is treat your neighbor as yourself, you know, follow the golden rule. But then, of course, we got different belief systems and whatnot. So how do we know really which one is right when there hasn't been anybody from any particular denomination who's come back to tell us anything?
Well, a couple of things I would say. I like what you said in the prologue to the question. I mean, the church for 1,000 years was one church. There was a great schism that happened in 1054, a schism between East and West, and then another schism in the West 500 years later. The Western Church fissured. And there have been many fissures since. But one thing that we can say, despite the fissuring, is that all Christians have been united with respect to essential Christian doctrine. And so we say in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. So let's make that practical. When we talk about the deity of Jesus Christ, if you say that Jesus Christ is not God in human flesh, if you say in very direct contradiction to Jesus himself and the words of Scripture and even the demonstrations of Jesus Christ when he walked this earth, if you say that Jesus Christ is not God, then you've departed from the faith once for all delivered to the saints. So, for example, if you are a Muslim and you say that saying that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, that he is God in human flesh, they would say that is the unforgivable sin of shirk. Well, obviously, they may agree on other points with respect to Jesus. For example, they agree that he's sinless, but they have certainly sold the farm when it comes to the essential of the deity of Jesus Christ. Same thing with a Jehovah's Witness, who says that Jesus Christ did not create all things, but was a junior partner. He himself was created. Or the Mormons, who say that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. So again, we have to stand shoulder to shoulder when it comes to essential Christian doctrine, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. We've been talking about eschatology. Well, there are people that disagree in terms of their timing of the tribulation or the meaning of the millennium, but all Christians are united in the essential that Jesus Christ will appear a second time. So again, there are essentials that we stand shoulder to shoulder on, and the other areas we debate it vigorously, unapologetically, because iron sharpens iron. I've written about the essentials of the historic Christian faith in a flip chart called Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine, available for your support of the ministry. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Unfortunately, coming up to the end of the broadcast, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for standing with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. In appreciation of your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his new book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More: The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. Simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.